Let's sing this little chorus. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we will come rejoicing, bringing, sing it one more time. Are you bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves? Will you come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves? We will come rejoicing, bringing, one more time together. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated. Seemed like David Paul was doing mighty well up here, and it would have suited me mighty well if he'd have kept on doing mighty well. Revelation 10 and 7. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Revelation 10 and 7. 10 and 7, I made the statement today that yesterday was Yom Kippur. 7 and 10. And today, we're talking about 10 and 7 in the days of the voice. To comment a little bit on it, I think it'd be good if we could comment just a little bit. It's an unusual thing. James gave his heart to the Lord, and one of the brethren noticed that his name was James Carter, which of course goes back to Jimmy Carter. And I guess David probably shared that with you. David was real excited about it over the house and was talking about it. And then we're talking about Jimmy Carter, James Carter. Or when we say James or Jimmy, we're talking about J.C., Jesus Christ. And of course the beard, the hair and whatever. Like Jesus coming out of Nazareth. It was really, really something that there all of a sudden the little thing was said about a performance of a wedding, and we reconfirmed a marriage there had been done by a justice of a peace. And it was really something, because yesterday there was a couple of marriages, and today that just being, you know, up and like that, and then us saying something about it, it was very evident that the dedication of the babies this morning really had to do with something in the light of the fact that that marriage was a confirmation as of today. Wish we had time to just kind of elaborate just on what we call the present day truth. But things are happening. Great, marvelous things are happening. The time is running out. Everything is at an end. Little definition of time a few days ago, somebody was telling me about it, said in the little statement, said, what is time? And said, time is something to keep everything from running together on us, I believe it is. That is to kind of proportion things. That's a pretty good thought. Intellectually, that's pretty good. But time, intervals in time, time and purposes as times and seasons, all this has to be for the purpose of God and for the plan of God and the program of God. And I guess that's why he makes it a little bit outstanding tonight when we comment on Revelation 10 and 7. Because in 10 and 7, it's where the angel is standing and declaring time no more. I feel a little different atmosphere tonight than I did this morning, so maybe we'll get to comment just a little bit. 10 and 7, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now I want you to notice something right here. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, In Revelation, the 8th chapter, these trumpeters begin to sound, and there were 7 of them to sound. And you know that as quick as one of them sounded, that there was a little censer, and it was mixed with fire from the altars of God, the little golden altar that was before the holies of holies, which stood right at the rending of the veil. And these little coals were taken, dropped into the censer. This censer with this perfume that they had made for the glory of God. And it was said that if anybody attempted to make any like that, they would be cut off from God. It symbolized the prayers of the saints. And in the book of Revelation, we're told that this angel reached and got a censer, and it was filled with the prayers of the saints. And then the little golden altar that had these hot coals symbolized the Word of God. And the Word of God was mixed with the prayers of the saints. So then Aaron, that would come with the blood, had the censer. He would come with this little censer. He would pick up the coal and mix it. And when he mixed it, as he stepped through the curtain to rend the veil, he would go into this place called the Holies of Holies. And when he would go into the place called the Holies of Holies, then this little coal being dropped into the censer, it would just go, spew up just like that. And the vapor would come out, and that vapor would cover him, and he would be within a cloud. And the whole place then would be within a cloud. And he would be approaching within a cloud. And he would take the blood and put it on the seat of atonement between the two covering cherubs. And this would signify an atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ, thus pointing to the day of Calvary, when the Lord himself with his own blood as a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish would go in through the covering cherubs, as to say, making within himself twain, Moses and Elijah, or breaking through the law and the prophets, coming through and rending that veil, going through there as the Christ himself, as to the holies of holies, which means into the very presence of God. The holies of holies really means the Spirit. Entering into God, who is a Spirit. God is the Holy of Holies. And in this thing that they had in the Old Testament, Moses had gone up into the mountain. For 80 days he had been hid from the view of the people. And God had talked with him, and God had given him a pattern and said, "Now, Moses, make all things in the earth according to this pattern shown thee in the mount." And he made everything in the earth as a typical thing of the heavenly spiritual things. That's why in the book of Revelation you see, when we start talking about these things as to being typical, we see these things being unveiled in the book of Revelation, because what Moses saw was the revelation back there. God showed it to him as to the hinder part, and showed him what he was to do as to the hinder part, which meant build it within a veil. And that way he could educate the people with a typical thing of the veil. That is to give them some natural symbolics of that which was going to be later converted to a spiritual thing. Like we say, potential energy and then change to kinetic energy. So the potentiality of heavenly things understood, expressed by natural things that appear. And then once we get those natural things as of the study of the law, then a great leader like Christ as to Paul comes. And it's Christ in Paul, and he begins to unveil all of these natural types and shadows. And there stands Christ. There stands the holies of holies. And there stand these wonderful spiritual things that we never knew before. "I will show you great and mighty things that ye know not," the Lord said. So, he made the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a big court with posts everywhere. We have tapes years ago where we bring out the court and the size of it, what it was, how many posts, what the posts represented, and all these kind of things. And within that tabernacle, we bring out about the altar being there, the big brazen altar. that had to have fire around it day and night and couldn't go out at any time. Then we bring out about the lava in between there and the tabernacle that's inside of this fence that's called the outer courts. And we bring out about the inside of the tabernacle as to what's called the holy place, the 10 by 20 supposedly, and that in the end of this tent, part of it cut off in the end, was called 10 by 10, or the Holy of Holies. The holy place of 10 by 20, the other 10 by 10, a holy of holies, supposedly. Sometimes they don't get together on the measurements, but that's the way that they give it. And it is in this holy place that on one side there are little cakes, six here and six here, making 12 cakes. And on the other side there is a candlestick of seven candles. And the light from this candlestick falls upon this bread, indicating as to the seven church ages and indicating the 12 apostles as to the little six and six as to the 12 cake. That is to say the bread of life. And coming through there has great significance and would take many hours just to go into the symbolics of what all this represented is pointing to our day as to the revelation of Jesus Christ or the unveiling of these great wonderful things. And the animal that was to be sacrificed was brought through the gates of the court outside, and the priest would lay hands on the head of it, and there it would be slain. It would be slain. And then the body would be burned outside the gate. The Bible said, and Jesus suffered without the gates for us. He came as the rejected body of the beast, in that we are all fallen through the beast, as in our first birth. And he came as the fallen beast and died out of the presence of God, as to show the Shekinah age of that being over, wherein God would give grace to that body until the time of his judgment. And the body cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" So then the Lord Jesus came to go through all these things to keep us from going through it. He died that I might not die in his body. He went into hell in his soul that I might not have to go into hell. And he went into paradise in his spirit. So we know that he went to preach to the souls in prison, which was in paradise or in the bosom of Abraham. So going through all these things so that I would not have to go through those things, it was unlike God, I could enter into the very presence of God himself, into the holies of holies. And that's where we're at today. It is the Spirit of Christ. It is Christ himself. The veil has been rent in twain. He said, "Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days." And they understood not that he spake of his body. And the Bible said, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, for he made in his body the temple, twain, two, both Lord and Christ. And he rent the veil in twain by separating the Lord from the Christ, to show that you who are the temple of the living God are in twain, that you are in twain. There's two of you. There's an outer man and an inner man. And Jesus came to die to rend, as to separate the outer man and the inner man, one from another. Because the outer man is infiltrated with the mind of Satan. And Paul said, "Who shall deliver me from this outer man, the body of this death?" He could have said, "The body of this beast. Oh, wretched man that I am. I see my inner man delighting in the things of God, but I see in my outer man another mind or a law warring against my inner man and bringing my inner man into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my outer man, as to the accusation that I should die when I don't feel like I should die, but I have to die because there is a sentence of death in my body because of the sins of Adam and Eve." So Jesus came in the likeness of the body. He went to Calvary. He died. And I preached to you the last sermon here just before today that now we are free from the body of the creature. We are free from the body of sin. We are free from the body of death. And whereas when we were held within the bondage of those sensual things, we were in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world through our human senses as being subject to these things because of survival. having to be upon the belly, because all of the labors for the belly and the mouth, it craves it of us. Therefore, it made us to be a generation of vipers, as the Bible said. And it made us to be in Adam, the fallen one, born in Adam, the heart wicked and deceitful above all things, and foolishness from the time of the childhood. Jesus came in this image, and this image was smote. And Paul said, now we are delivered from the body. It is no more I that live, but now it is Christ at the right hand of the Father who liveth. And my spirit has been translated into his spirit by divine transology, and is at the right hand of the heavenly Father, there within the body of the Lord Jesus. And when he, my life, appears, or my spirit comes back for the body, then I will revive again. Until then, I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me by the body of the Lord Jesus. Whereas when we were held to this, the motions of sin work within me to bring forth fruits unto death. But now, being delivered from the body, I am no more in bondage to the body. I am now the body of the beloved Savior, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as David Paul said. And I am now free from the body, and my spirit has been translated into the Christ Spirit, and the Christ Spirit is at the right hand of the Father, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the change of the body or the restoring of all things. I go away, he said, to prepare a place. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again to receive you unto my own, that wherever I am, there you might be also. He did come back, and he did receive us. And he did take us as the spiritual man and translate us into the kingdom of God. And today, inwardly, we have the kingdom of God within us. For he said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation of the eyes, but the kingdom of God is within you. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has come. And now pray, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, because thy kingdom has come. And men are pressing their way into the kingdom. And we're preaching the kingdom of God like we did to James today. And James is in a man pressed his way against his human reasoning as Satan aggravated. And he pressed himself against that and went into the Spirit of Christ and received the Spirit as his Savior and received eternal life. So then we know that we are free from the body. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I said all that to say this, the veil was rent in twain. So today you're rent in twain. Your body is now dead because of sin and buried with Jesus Christ and in baptism. And now you have come up from that in the newness of life as to the resurrection, having been buried with him in baptism. Now are you risen again in life with him as to the resurrection. And today you are up and alive forevermore. So yield your members as they that are alive from the dead, Jesus, as to him. And as the body of Jesus, Jesus hath made you free, and you are free from the law of sin and death. See the law folded up and laid away, every jot, every tittle fulfilled, and then the kingdom came. And so the kingdom is here today. The kingdom of God is here. At last the kingdom has come. Now, Father, thy will be done. In the body as in the spirit, on earth as in heaven. So we see that the veil has been rent in twain. They thought he was talking about the natural temple, because in the natural temple it was like the tabernacle back there that was called the temple in the wilderness. And inside of that great configuration was this little place to where you had to rend the veil. Like today the Catholics still do it. They stay behind the veil. But to us, the veil has been rent in twain. We can go right into the holies of holies. They that are out yonder in the world can't do that, because the Catholic Church still represents that they are cut off from this wonderful holies of holies. And the priest sits behind the veil and he still listens to their confession. And the Catholic Church is the power of the papacy of Papa that's over the whole world. See, and the whole world looks to him as the supremacy, pontiff. Now, so then that means that the Lord has not returned to them, but Christ himself, taking our spirit into his spirit, went right into the very presence of Almighty God, right into heaven, right into the holies of holies. And what the holies of holies is in our day is the Holy Ghost himself. the Holy Spirit Himself. That is the holiest of holies. This is the spiritual era. 2,000 years water world, 2,000 years blood world, 2,000 years spirit world. And here we are in the spirit era. And so the holiest of holies, we have entered into the spiritual world, whereas they are, the others passing on through these two worlds to the third has entered into a symbolic thing of religion, which is America called the New World. So we've entered into the very spirit itself, and we're loving the Lord, and He is with us, and we are interwoven with Him, and He is on the inside. The kingdom has come. Now His will is being done in our body, in our life, and we're surrendering our body. Like the song we wrote, crucified, crucified. Jesus is the one that was crucified for me. It's not I that lives, for to Him my soul I give. And I am crucified, Lord, with Thee. Would you like to be crucified? Crucified with Him? So then we are crucified with Christ, and not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And as Christ was crucified, that was me. He became my sin in death and separation from God, to die out of the presence of God, that I might become His righteousness, to live forever and eternally in the presence of God. So then we see the veil is rent in twain, and then when we get to talking along those lines, it makes us to understand better what is meant by the middle of the week of Daniel, when this great angel is standing with his hands stretched out to heaven and his feet on land and sea and the rainbow about his head, and here he is crying out, time no more. Time no more. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, time no more. The mysteries of God should be finished. And the Bible says the things of God have an end. And so then the mystery of godliness, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, and the mystery was made known unto me. Therefore said, and it shall be finished in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So here this great angelic being is standing up, and he is saying that the angels that sounds, the seven angels that sounds in Revelation 8 through Revelation 11, going right on sounding, these great angels, he said, and the sounding of these trumpets, one behind another, the bottomless pit opened, the locusts coming out, the sun turning dark, and the moon turning to blood, and the stars of heaven falling, and the sea turning into blood, and the waters being smitten with wormwood, becoming bitter, that when men drink of them, they die. All these things as these angels sounds, beginning in Revelation 8 of the seven trumpets. And we come right down to the sixth trumpet, and between the sixth and seventh trumpet, there is a breach, and this great angel comes forth. And he says, and time shall be no more. Six angels have sounded. The last three of these seven was woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. And here the last woe was to be, and in the days of the voice, as to the third woe, as to the sounding of the seventh trumpeter, where the veil was rent in twain, and where it comes as the Bible uses the terms, and times, time, and dividing of times, or the separation of time. So then we see that we're pointing all the way back as to the time when Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And there stands that mighty angel, God, the Lord Jesus, standing there, his hands raised to heaven, and he said, Father, it is finished. It is finished. And we see then the difference as to Jesus, the unveiling of Christ, and the Jesus left with this perspective of the 483 of Daniel's prophecy, and the Christ moving in between the 483 and the 7 that was separated from the 490 to give us the church ages. It is the Christ. He comes in between the 7 and the 483 as to the rent veil, as Peter looking beyond the veil, and there it is, the church ages. Sure enough, and so then we see that with this, the veil was rent in twain. And we see that Paul comes along to pick up this part of the Christ through the church ages. And that's why I used the terms a few nights ago like this. I said, and there was Jesus to capstone the Jews, saying it is finished. And they rejected their capstone, and they don't accept the capstone of their work down through the years as to the pyramid city. They don't accept it until the last 7 years, when the seven comes back to the 483 to finish the 490, as it was said to Daniel, 490 years determined upon thy people to make an end, Daniel. Then when Jesus comes, they will accept him as the Mount Zion Lamb. When they gather at Mount Zion and the Lamb there, the bloody Lamb is there. See, as to the new blood life, as to the new way of life, and the old going out as to the blood of the beast, as to the sacrifices of that which was contaminated through the fall, which God will not receive of the first man Adam, as the life being in the blood, all die in Adam, and so the blood had to be spilt continually as to the casting out of the red dragon. That is the nature of Satan, that this life might be free from that red blood. The blood life of the breath of life, of that that makes the little compound turn red as to the oxygen coming into the capillaries of the body. And see, this life that consists only of that which is the cosmic energy coming down from the light, which is the sun. We are a bundle of potentiality. We are potential energy. Everything in the world, we say again, is mass. It's just a mass of atoms. Or we say to begin with a mass of molecules, or many molecules. And the molecules is a mass of many atoms. And the atoms is a mass of a lot of real, genuine sparks of fire. That's called electrons, protons, neutrons, or betas. So then we know that everything is but a mass of potentiality. And we know that through this hypothalamus comes this great energy from the sun, and that Satan is only kept alive by the sunlight that you see with your natural eyes. Otherwise, he would be dead and gone. Now, as I said today, when I said that to the brethren, some of the people would say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that the devil can only be kept alive by the sun that's shining out here in the sky? No, I'm saying that as an angel, the sunlight has nothing to do with him at all as keeping him alive. He is a spirit. But as to a living human being living in a human body without the sunlight, Satan is dead as to his activity of the world and his endeavors in the world, because the human being is dependent upon that cosmic energy that comes down from the sun through the cosmos, coming down to you and I. Our bodies is dead without that, because that is a vibrance, that is a quickening. So the only life that Satan has in the world is to be able to go into the bloodstream and take control of that breath of life that comes in through the little capillaries, that goes through the bloodstream and the quickening all through the body, and catch this coming through the cosmic energy with his nature. As to his nature of the quickening of that natural, savoring the things that be of the natural or of the flesh, of this quickening power of a potentiality. That is a kinetic energy coming down, but it hits us as this potentiality, and every little component of the body having to pick up the vibration, it turns it into a flow of energy. So it turns us into a kinetic energy as to the functioning, as to the quickening and the blood streaming through, so that we are kept alive by a quickening. And the little pump keeps working. So Satan is actually in the blood, and he's called the red dragon because he is a spirit that is within the blood of a human being. So when this cosmic energy is kept away, then that means there is no more quickening, there is no more life, and Satan has lost all of his empire. Like scientists say that the earth would freeze over like a ball of ice if it wasn't for the sunshine. So winter comes and then summer comes. And we see a type of the death, burial, and resurrection, and God allowing the winter time of sin to come in on us, and then the killing out of the parasites, what it has to do with, or else they would eat our tree. they would destroy the fruits of our ground. So there has to be a winter time, and it looks like the tree dies and all the sap and life backs out of it. But not really. It just goes down into the root, and just as quick as the sun comes up, it begins to woo that stump or that little old tree that's all dried up, and it begins to heat up and draw the water. And the vapor begins to move again, coming up through the branches, and again the leaves and all these things from the little elements picked up in the ground, whereas the roots reaching out here, picking all the elements up, and the taproot down the ground, picking up the water, and then they're mixing together, going into the tree and out in the branches. And all of a sudden, then the sun drawing the water right on through the tree as to make the clouds appear to move it over to water the dry ground, as we say so often. Then in the streams through the filters back to the salt purifying, back to the rivers, out to the fountains and these things, and you drink the water all over again. And Solomon said everything in a cycle. So then we see this thing happens to us the same way as to life, and that's why we die. That's why we're born. That's why we die. It's the same identical process as it is in the water world. To the world of vegetation, there is a water line. There's a water line because vegetation lives off of water. And water is the lifeline of the world of vegetation. So God sent, as to the first world, to 2,000 years, He sent water. And they had that covenant in the garden. See, they lived off of fruit. And then after that 2,000 years, then they had dropped down to a beast level, and when they dropped to the beast level, then they had to live by blood. And so then there was 2,000 years of the spilling of blood, because the life was now in captivity to the blood. And being in captivity to the blood, that brought in the beast age, where the serpent was, that was changed into a beast, and where Satan worked through that level of life as to a beast, because you could not work through another level as to the spirit. That is to say, the illumination of the spirit that they were illuminated with. He couldn't get through that. He couldn't do that. That would have destroyed him. So he had to work on the second level. And then Calvary come. There was a physical seizure, and the body of God Himself, the head, was given a blood bath, and was a vesture dipped in blood that's recorded in Revelation 19 when He comes back on the white horse. He is now that vesture dipped in blood at the right hand of the Father as to the blood atonement. No man's countenance was ever marred like His countenance. He comes back as the blood dipped in blood, as a vesture dipped in blood with the Word of God on His thigh. And then the blood bath comes for all the nations of the world. So we see then that was the second 2,000 years, and then the third 2,000 years was to be an angelic thing. The lifeline of the world of human physics as to human anatomy is blood. The lifeline of the world of vegetation is water. And the lifeline of the angelic world is spirit. So we've come now to the angelic world, the holies of holies. We've entered in, we come in as to the water world, the outer courts, as to all the trees and the fields and the beauties. And then we come from that into an inner court, into a tabernacle, which was a human body. And Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, we've entered into this tabernacle as a life, we've now entered into it, and go through the wilderness of the intellectual wandering of this wilderness, until we differentiate as to our thoughts being the mean, till we come to that third, and then those that are accounted for as the children of heaven will make that transition through that going into the third, which is the third 2,000 years, which is the pouring out of the Spirit of Almighty God Himself, or entered into heaven, in that Peter said at Calvary, the rending in twain, and the world passed away. As to the second world, the old world passed away with water. Now the second world has passed away. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The tabernacle wilderness has passed away, crossing the Jordan as to Calvary, getting over death, and then into the mind of Christ, which is the third world. That is the holies of holies. And we which are children of God are now entering into our world. See, and all down through the church ages, here we are. The rest of them don't do that because coming through the tabernacle, as to the world of the tabernacle, the Bible said they murmured and complained against Moses. Look how they do against the church. Look how they find fault. Look how the IRS and all the rest of them harass the church. See, and it displeased God so much until he let the earth open up and swallow them up. Well, that is to say, the earth being made out of the dust has literally swallowed them up with the gullible desire of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the vain janglings of the things of the world. But see, we pass right on through it, and that tabernacle has no power over us. It's just a tabernacle. The Bible said we have better altars to eat at, better altars than these beasts have. Those people are beasts, brute beasts, some of them made to be taken and destroyed. And they have altars, but they do not have altars as we have. Our altar is right, going right into the very holies of holies, into the very presence of Almighty God. See, and the kingdom of God is within our spirit and us within the kingdom of God by a divine translation after Calvary, coming into the third era of the spirit world. So then we have better altars than the beast town. The beast's altars is this of the world as to the tabernacle, the natural tabernacle. But that's not our altars. Our altars are better altars than that. They are heavenly altars where we offer our sacrifice up unto the heavenly offering as it was with Aaron when he went right into the very holies of holies. So we see this angel in the middle of the week. It's the times, time, and dividing of times. And there it is dividing asunder. And we say as to the 483, as to the seven, and then in between the church ages of this third era, which is a heavenly era, and we've been ushered into the kingdom. And we pass right from the tabernacle of the wilderness wandering in that we are free from the law because the law hath power over a man as long as he lives and he is a transgressor of the law. You have the law and none of you keep it. And the Jews being in the second dimension, they transgress the law to show the whole world being numbered with them is cast out of the presence of God at Calvary. And they go into outer darkness. God rejects them. And here we come right into the marvelous light of the new world, as to say, come to America symbolic. And we come across the great gulf, and here we are in the new world, or that is at Calvary, that blood world stopped. And now the angelic world is here, and ye are they that dwell in heaven. And the Bible said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. For ye are not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the tabernacle, or you are not in the wilderness. I took you over the Jordan of your intellectual wilderness wandering, and ye are not under the leadership as to the law with Moses. Moses has gone on as Jesus caught away, and now we've moved over the Jordan of the intellectual reasoning of human concept of ritualistics, and now we belong to the following of Joshua, the great eternal Holy Spirit that has us and is interwoven with our spirit and is leading us into Canaan, which is the third dimension of this great projecting of this heavenly, wonderful heavenly land of this which we are in the spirit. Joined to God, then ye are one spirit. So it's like the rocket when it launches from here, it's got its drop off. It has its payload. But as it moves on, it has to drop off one load, and then it goes a little further, and it drops off another, and then it goes a little further, and it lands on the moon. See, with the third part, you've got to drop off that old body. It's got to die. And then you've got to drop off that soul as to being a living soul. You're no more a living soul. You are changed into a quickening spirit. And so then your soul did not sin because God protected you in it. Because animals have souls. And the soul of the animal goes down. So then we change to a quickening spirit. And the soul realm, Adam and Eve had a soul as to the life preserved within the soul realm as to the animal realm, because it takes a soul to house life. And before they could get into the tree of life to be changed, they resorted to the beast and listened to the voice through the beast. And therefore their life was taken into captivity and left the great Shekinah, which Shekinah God has restored as the tree of life in our spirit, we are translated in our spirit into that restoration of the Shekinah that they were illuminated with as to the tabernacle and the pillar of fire on top as to the light, as to a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, giving a light from that pillar of fire over the tabernacle. So we could go on and go on as to that blood, as to what it had to do with us, the fire of the beast. And now the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the supremacy, which is that great spiritual glow of that great city where John saw the lively stones and the Lamb being the light inside of that city as to the blood there. And that light was a quickening spirit. And that blood was changed into a burning, quickening spirit, the third stages of fire, when it is aglow so beautifully. And that light was like a light, a jasper stone, a light most precious, radiating through these stones and going out into all the earth and all the world of that day to show that the people out there was walking in the light of that city. They walked in the understanding, that great masterful understanding that you are right in the midst of. So then, Father, thy will be done, thy kingdom is come. So, we're in the kingdom age now. Like the song we wrote, have a good day. Have a good day with all of your friends. Have a good day. And it goes on to say, have a good day without end. And it goes on to say, this is the day, God's day, the day that God made for you. Have a good day. And maybe they'll sing that sometime. But anyway, this is where we're at. We've entered into his rest. The great Sabbath of God, which means at the end of this spiritual era, then the tribulation period to purge of the Jews, Israel. And then at the end of that, that ends the Egyptian civilization. And then with that, the world comes up right, the curse is gone, and then the millennium comes in for 1,000 years of this very earth right here, restored of all that the cankerworm got, the caterpillar, the years that the locusts consume. I will restore, saith the Lord. That is to say, Jacob, thy worm, or people that are locusts and caterpillars in the sight of God. See, and some is to be changed as to the metamorphosis of the cocoon to bring forth the butterfly. So then we know that we are the heavenly creatures, and this world is fixing to go into its 1,000 years millennium with the Jews, because we're on the verge of going into our celestial world in the change, whereas caught up just before the tribulation period or before the millennium, we go up into the wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb, up into glory, the dressing room. And here we're there. And we stay until the 7 years of tribulation is over, and then the marriage supper at the end of it, when all are slain and all are invited as to the fowls of the air, to that great supper of the rich men and the captains and whatever. Because we return to enjoy the millennium for 1,000 years, and then at the end of the 1,000 years, when the Jews are changed into the celestial, for they won't be celestial during the 1,000 years millennium, it'll be a restoration of a garden, like Adam and Eve. But at the end of it, the great light, then the earth fades away, there's no more sea, and then the great celestial world is there, and there we are going right on into the great celestial world to enjoy the celestial world, which will be where that great crystal sea is. So we see the angel standing here saying, time more. Now, let us comment just a little bit here, and then we're going to let you go. When the angel stood and declared that time would be no more, that had great significance to you and I. We are not creatures of time. The time era is gone. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them from the time era, that we might not be creatures of time anymore, as to a time to be born and a time to die. We are now eternal creatures. We pass from death unto life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath passed from death unto life. He shall never come into condemnation, and he shall never see death. So then we've already bypassed the era and the age of time, which is death as to the animal kingdom. Now we are eternal. We are now sons of God, the champions of champions. So when we come to this, then we realize that we are a different people. The angel said, John, take this little book and eat this little book. For you've got to prophesy to many nations. Many nations. Now, we want to say something about that, but probably not tonight because we've done got down another trail and went off on quite a number of things. But I do want to comment here as to John taking the little book. And I said this morning, if we take the outlook because he said, seal up the thunders, if we take the outlook that means that humanity can't know those things, we'll have to take the same outlook when he said, seal it up in the days of Daniel. But we find out the same thing that was sealed in the days of Daniel was openly revealed in the days of John. And it was the very same thing of Daniel because Daniel was the one that prophesied the 490 years. And 7 years of that 490 is Daniel's prophecy. So it is the unveiling of the book that was sealed in the day of Daniel. See, so he said, see that you seal it not. So we see the revelation of the Lord Jesus there. And it's always been as to Moses, to Daniel, right on down, this great, wonderful revelation of the new world and what it had to do with and what it had to do with you. And when it comes into that condition, then old things have passed away, Paul said, and all things have become new. And you are a new creature in Christ. So then we see that he said, seal it up. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, six angels sounded the breach, and then comes the great angel, which was Christ. They didn't know him as Christ. The Jews did. See, this noted as a great angel. So now it is that the great angel stands there, and he said, take the book. And John eats the book. Then he said, seal up the thunders. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery would be finished. So six angels have sounded. And then he said, in the days of the seventh angel. Well, we look right on over from 10 and 7. And we find in Revelation 15 that sure enough, that seventh angel raises the trumpet. And he begins to sound in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And he sounds. And from there, 11, 15, all the way out, it is him as to the sounding to the end of the book of Revelation, the consummation and the bringing in of the celestial city. So we know that the seven thunders would then be somewhere within from the 11:15 over to the end of the great book of Revelation as to the celestial city. Where is the thunders? It doesn't make any mention of them in there. Where then would be the thunders? Let's look at it just for a moment. See, we say, well, Brother Pike, according to that, all seven of the angels have already sounded. How then say ye that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel? See, but if you remember, this was a vision. This was a revelation that John was having. And indeed, he did see all of it. The coming of the Lord, the total period of tribulation. But then on the other hand, the tribulation has not yet come. It was a vision of the coming. And John saw these even as Daniel did as to that was to come upon his people in the last day. So see, it has not yet come. And then another thing is the end of the world has not yet come. And it was said there that was the end of time. And the end of time has not yet come as to the people which will be in the middle of the tribulation. The end of time to the world. Understand? Going back to Calvary is different with us. Now, so then we see that it is yet to come as to this that is to sound. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, then if that is true, if it's going to sound, then could that mean that the sounding of the trumpet would be in our day? Because we believe that this is the end of the world, and you preach that this is the end of the world. Well, there's a lot to be considered there that you might think on. But nevertheless, when we say, and the seventh angel sounded, would it then be that all of a sudden we're going to hear him sound and the mysteries of God would be finished? Well, there's a lot to be considered. The thing is, if you'll notice, John heard the seventh angel sound in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of the last week of Daniel. Are we in the middle of the tribulation? Are we in the middle of the last week of Daniel? Or are we expecting as to this moment to approach the beginning of the last week of Daniel? And at the beginning of the last week of Daniel, the church will be gone like that. And that you wouldn't be around when that seventh angel sounded if he is one of the seven that is to sound in the midst of the tribulation period of the last week of Daniel. How do we look at that? I know they teach a lot of things about different people in the seventh angel. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say spiritually, revelationally. We could say a lot of things, and we are saying a lot of things, and the elect is getting it. See, but the rest does not get it. They're blinded. It's not given unto them to know the mysteries. It's only given for them to know the gospel, that they might be guilty in the day of the Lord Jesus. They can't perform it. They don't have the spirit to perform it, which is the spirit of Christ. Like when the ark was stolen in the days of Philistines, they couldn't perform it. It just brought sickness. The whole world is full of sickness today because of the Baptists, the Methodists, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, all of the churches getting together trying to serve God without His Spirit. And it's done nothing but bring a curse on them. And after a while, they're going to say, take it away, I don't want it. It's nothing but a problem to me. Let me dance and shout and let me have a good time and let me enjoy all the frolics of the world. See, so we just hold fast. We just set steady because everything's all right. Don't try to steady the ark. Don't put your hand on it. It isn't going to fall. It looks like it with the IRS and everything attacking it, but it's going to come out all right. Everything's going to be just exactly 100%. So don't worry. Just have faith in God. That's all. Now, so we see here in the middle of the week, we see these things happening, and I'm not going to try to stretch out any more on this. I just want to put a picture of that in your mind, to where you can stop and think a little bit about this, that when we get to this, that you might understand. See, where are those seven thunders? Well, anyway, you understand what I'm saying. We said these few things here so that you could kind of get a format in your mind of who you are and where you are and the dispensation that you're in and what you are. And let me say this to you like I said to the brethren. Ye are now sons of God. Someone would say, well, so what? You know, I hear that in the churches, they're the sons of God. No, no, you don't understand. When you think like that, you don't even understand. See, ye are sons of God. And being in the church does not mean a person is a son of God. Belonging to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, speaking in tongues, seeing visions, doing all these things, even having God to heal or whatever, does not mean that you are a son of God. You have His Spirit, you are a son of God. If you don't, you're none of His. It doesn't go with experiences. It goes with a new birth. Unless you're born again, you never see the kingdom. It is the kingdom to be seen by the eyes of understanding, to comprehend heights, depth, width, and length. So then it means that you are more than an angel. An angel cannot be born again. An angel is a created thing. And you are greater than Michael and greater than Gabriel. And you're greater than Lucifer. You're greater than angels, and you have power over all angels. God has given you the preeminence to rule with a rod of iron as His very sonship, as the members of His very body. To say it, and it'll be that way. Whatever you desire, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, you are more than kings and queens and rulers and champions and great Olympics. That is, Olympic stars. And you are greater than these that are in the upper echelon. You are greater than dignitaries of the world. Ye are sons of God, the champion of champions. And these people in the world, they are not sons of God. They've never been born again. They are the act of creation through Adam, and they're mere beasts. And they live merely by a quickening of a cosmic energy. And they've traced their origin back to the animals, because that's all that they are. But, beloved, Jesus said, I come from heaven. I'm not of the earth or the world. Ye are of the world. Ye are from the dust. And to the dust thou shalt return, as all in Adam die. But with us, we're not of the earth. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And as the sons of God leap for joy when the morning stars sing together at the beginning of the creation of God, when the world was first formed, that's what we are. We came from heaven. We are the body of Almighty God. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are they that dwell in heaven. We've always been eternal in Him. And we come from His loins. And we are still eternal, and we will always be eternal. And we're being redeemed from the corruption and being brought to existence, or to be made manifest, or to be come to be, as we say, through the mold of this degenerate side of life, as to an animal that is a base thing, that's subject as a bond's child to the beggarly elements of the world for survival by human senses. We have a manner. We overcome. We eat of the hidden manner. We have thought to eat of that ye know not. See, so then that means that we are sons of the living God. We are born of God. We are the great power preeminence through all the world, and all the world is ours. Begin to remember that and begin to think like that, and don't be children anymore. Only in malice, howbeit in understanding, be a man. And begin to think like that and realize, say within your heart, oh my God, what a childish, childish thing I have been. Am I really this that excels the billionaires, that all the gold is mine and all the silver is mine? Somebody would say, well, I know that, I believe that, but what you really do is make believe that. But then when you begin to think like that, my God, my God, my God, I really have passed from death unto life. I really am eternal. I really cannot sin. I'm born of God. I really am the owner of all the universe and all of eternity. And I'm one with Almighty God, and I've overcome, and I've sat down in the throne. Heaven is His throne, and we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Earth is His footstool, and we're no longer around the footstool for the old serpent to bite us. See, we're just waiting for the change of the body to acknowledge it through our human concept of sight. But I tell you, folks, that has nothing to do with you becoming sons. That has nothing to do with your new birth. That has nothing to do with your sonship. That's only an adoption that has to come. It's to a presentation of what you are and what you always have been. And what you are in all reality right now, aside from what the angels are and what people of the world are. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? It didn't sound in the affirmative enough to make me believe it. All right. Maybe you're afraid if you get exuberant, I'll preach long. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask that again. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Do you believe what I say?
Amen.
Okay, that means that you do believe you are a son of God. That means you do believe that you're different from angels, with power over angels, and that you are different from human beings, with all power over the flesh, all human beings. Do you believe that?
Amen.
So, that makes us to be God's peculiar treasure in the earth. They that know these things, if you know these, you conceive of this, in your heart, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe these things as you say that you do, that makes you all powerful to say what you will, to ask what you will, to do whatever you want to. Someone would say, well, if I ever get this old body to where I can see all this glory that you're talking about, let me inform you something. You that talk like that and think like that, let me give you an invitation to get born again. See, you've never been born again, or you wouldn't think like that. See, let me give you an invitation to get born again. But you that have been born again, that have God's Spirit, and you have this great, wonderful, heavenly treasure within the earthen vessels, which is to be made manifest in your mortal genes, ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice, begin to believe and enjoy that which you already have, to say right now, to believe right now, to decree it in your heart right now, to ask it in your heart, and not doubt, and have whatsoever you say. See, right now. In mind, we could say something along the lines of faith as to help faith in those things, but tonight we've already said enough. We're going to sing a little chorus, and we're going to let you go. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior,
sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, thou rest, and thou sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest, it may sweep about over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
Let's lift our hands up tonight while we're singing and our hands are lifted up, praising the Lord. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. While your hands are lifted up and while you're praising the Lord, the Bible said, examine yourselves. For if you would examine yourselves, see your need and chasten your own self in fasting and prayer, then you'd have no need to be chastened of the Lord. But when you don't do that, then to put away the wrong, you have to be chastened of God, that you be not condemned with the world. Some men's sins are confessed and go on to the judgment, to be judged of God at the judgment, that they might be forgiven because of the blood. Some men's sins follow after them and have to be judged when they get there as those that are unconfessed sin. So we've confessed ours, and judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and the minister remits our sins to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And our sins are now behind us. The emotions of sins are gone, and we're now the beloved body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are they that dwell in heaven, rejoice forevermore. They that dwell in heaven, and to believe, so that this can be made manifest in your mortal genes as to the change that others might see, the glory of that wonderful glory that is already within you as to the inner man. God is going to make it manifest in the genes of the outer man so others can see it. Now let's sing this little song together.
Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. He poured in the oil and the wine.
Sing it with me now.
Jesus poured in. It's the wine that restores my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores the soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil.
The altars are open.
Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores the soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil and the wine.
Let's lift our hands up together, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, examining our souls to see if we're in the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And tonight, our salvation comes by faith in the Word. How wonderful it is to be a Christian, to be a son of God, to own all things are yours, and to be able to control heaven and earth. And you're coming to the end of your tutoring, and all of a sudden you're going to realize things that you never realized before in your life, and things will start dawning on you like it never has before. You that have loved the Lord, and you that have been trying to be faithful and trying to be honest and sincere, all of a sudden out of that there's going to be things dawning on you, and in your mind and your heart is going to leap for joy. And you're going to be shouting and praising God and rejoicing like you never dreamed that you'd ever rejoice. Because God is going to awaken you. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw His glory. How wonderful it is to be crucified with Christ, to love the Lord, not us living, but Christ living within us. So while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, we're going to sing this little chorus together. Give me that old-time religion, old-time religion, old-time religion, good enough for me. Love everybody, love everybody, and it's good enough. So give me that old-time religion, old-time religion, old-time religion. It was good for my mother and my father, good for my mother and my father, good for my mother and my father, hallelujah, it'll do for me. That old-time religion, old-time religion, old-time religion, cause it's good enough. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Give him a wave offering, hallelujah. Cause it's good enough. One more time together. Give me that old...